The ever-present love of Jesus. Matthew 28:20 says, "Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I don't know about you, but I can't stay too long away from studying the topic of the love of Jesus. We will continue to explore other important biblical themes, but we will always come back to this, because at the heart of the Bible, we find Jesus, and at the heart of Jesus, we find his love. So that is where we should always return. Like when you take a trip to a forest or a mountain, that might be an enriching experience, but it's not the same thing as when you return home. The love of Jesus is the Christian's home. And the love of Jesus is so vast and multifaceted, we can never exhaust it or get to the end of it. We can never run out of things to say about it or enjoy about it. So today, I would like to talk about the quality of his love that I have sensed the most need of this past week. That is his ever-present love. This verse in Matthew 28:20 is a very good place to start. When we explore his ever-present love, it comes in the shape of a promise given at just a perfect time and occasion. Jesus had been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. He had appeared numerous times to his disciples and given words of assurance and comfort to them. Now he was about to ascend to heaven, leaving his disciples as far as his bodily presence was concerned. And he says, "Surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." When you're going to leave someone you love for a long, long time, you save the very most important words for last, because that's what they will remember best. That's what Jesus has done here. And by his words, he assures them that though he be absent from them in body, his spirit would always be with them. Absent from them in body, but ever present with them through his Holy Spirit. Jesus is ever present, and he is ever present with his love towards his people. He loves his people, and therefore he loves to be with his people. We read the Gospels, and we see this characteristic of Jesus, even when he walked upon the earth as a man. If you are looking for Jesus, just look for his disciples. Find his disciples, and you will find Jesus. That's where his heart is at home. Mark 1, verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" Jesus was so ever present with his disciples that when he gets up before they do and finds a private place to pray, they're practically in a panic. So near was Jesus, so constantly near, so faithfully near. Find his disciples and you find Jesus. He started his earthly ministry in the company of his beloved disciples, and that is where he dwelled day after day. And at the end of his ministry, at his very last supper on earth, we find him in Luke 22:15 saying, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." His heart is with his people. And where his heart is, his love is, even when he seems far away. There's an example of this in an occasion recounted by Mark in chapter 6 of his gospel, beginning with verse 45. Jesus had sent his disciples across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he stayed behind. It says that they were straining at the oars on a very rough sea, wind and waves against them. They thought they were alone. But what does it say? Verse 48, Jesus was watching them from the mountainside. He was not with them because he was teaching them to live by faith and not by sight. But he could not stay away long. He was watching them from the mountainside, but his heart was with them in the boat. And they needed him. and he longed to be with them in their hour of need. And the only way he could get to them was by walking on the lake. So that's what he did. And if he was ever present with his disciples then, how much more is that true for us now? Now that he has not the restrictions of abiding in a human body, he is ever present by his Holy Spirit, especially when we're in need. Hear what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:16. On one occasion when Paul was in prison, he wrote to Timothy, "At my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me." Paul was arrested for his service to the gospel. You can read about his arrest in Acts chapter 21. He was thrown in prison, facing a possible execution, and all his friends got scared and ran away. Everyone deserted him, but not everyone. Verse 17, Paul says, "But the Lord stood at my side." The Lord stood at his side in that prison cell. Whether the Lord actually appeared to him, perhaps in a dream or vision, or whether Paul was just keenly aware of his presence and blessing, we don't know. He doesn't elaborate. But one way or the other, Jesus makes his presence known to Paul in his hour of need. That is just so like Jesus. His tender-hearted love just won't let him stay away, especially when his beloved ones are in danger. So he came to Paul's side. But not only that, Jesus doesn't just show up and do nothing. Paul writes that he stood at my side and gave me strength. When Jesus stands alongside us, he always gives something. Now, we've all known people who are happy to stand alongside us because they want something from us. They show up when they need something. Oh, kids and grandkids can be that way. You suddenly see them standing there, and then it's, okay, what is it you need? But Jesus needs nothing. So he shows up only to give. He is alongside us to comfort, to guide, to teach, to support, to calm, to enliven, to invigorate, to direct, to heal. Whatever our inmost need might be at the moment, Jesus and his ever-present love is and always has been the answer for it. Surely I am with you always. That promise is very similar to a promise God had given many, many years earlier, when God delivered his people from slavery in Egypt and he brought them through the wilderness. And when the Israelites stood at the edge of the promised land, God had Moses say something to them. He gave them a promise that would be a rock for them, an anchor for their souls that could sustain them through all the challenges and hardships that lay ahead. And he didn't just say it once, he said it twice. He said to them in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 and verse 8, he had Moses say, "He will never leave you nor forsake you." Oh, there can be no greater assurance than this. No greater medicine for the soul, no greater antidote for our fears. Listen to J.C. Ryle's commentary of this passage. "It is impossible to conceive words more comforting, strengthening, cheering, and sanctifying than these. Though left alone, like orphan children in a cold, unkind world, the disciples were not to think they were deserted. Their master would be ever with them. Though commissioned to do a work as hard as that of Moses when sent to Pharaoh, they were not to be discouraged. Their master would certainly be with them. No words could be more suited to the position of those to whom they were first spoken. No words could be imagined more consolatory to believers in every age. Let all true Christians lay hold of these words and keep them in mind. Christ is with us always. Christ is with us wherever we go. He is with us daily to pardon and forgive, and us daily to sanctify and strengthen, and us daily to defend and keep, with us daily to lead and guide, with us in sorrow, with us in joy, with us in sickness, with us in health, with us in life, and with us in death, with us in time, and with us in eternity. What stronger consolation could believers desire than this? Christ is ever with them. They may look into the grave and say with David, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." They may look forward beyond the grave and say with Paul, "We shall ever be with the Lord." Let us go on believing and not be afraid. It is everything to be a real Christian. None have such a king, such a priest, such a constant companion, and such an unfailing friend as the servants of Christ. That's what J.C. Ryle says. Now, this is what Spurgeon says. Here is a promise to live by. Jesus is with us. And a blessed truth it is, for where Jesus is, love becomes inflamed. Of all the things in the world that can set the heart burning, there is nothing like the presence of Jesus. Remember, his presence may be had. His promise is as true now as ever. He delights to be with us. He will reveal himself to our earnest prayers and graciously allow himself to be detained by our entreaties. Surely I am with you always. It is well that there is one stable rock amidst the billows of the sea of life. Oh, my friends, set not your affections upon rusting, moth-eaten, decaying treasures, but set your hearts upon him who abides forever faithful to you. Build not your house upon the moving quicksands of a deceitful world, but found your hopes upon this rock, which, amid descending rain and roaring floods, shall stand immovably secure. Put your all in Christ. Set all your affections on his person, all your hope in his merit, all your trust in his cleansing blood, all your joy in his presence, and so you may laugh at loss and defy destruction. Remember that all the flowers of the world's garden fade in due time, and the day comes when nothing will be left but the dark, cold earth. Death's black extinguisher must soon put out our candle. The dark flood must roll between us and all we have. Then let us wed our hearts to him who will never leave us. Let us trust ourselves to him who will go with us through the black and surging current of death's stream, and who will land us safely on the celestial shore. To sum it up, there is nothing you can want, there is nothing you can ask for, there is nothing you can need in time or in eternity. There is nothing in this world, nothing in the next world, which is not included in this promise. Surely, I am with you always. A promise enough for our souls to live upon, whatever may come.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may around me beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.